Amen. Please be seated. Good evening. My name is Joo-won Kim. I'm a pastoral assistant here at Christ the King. It's a great joy to share the Word of God with you this evening. Our scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 33. I do ask if you can open up your Bibles. There's a pew Bible in front of you. We'll go into New Testament and a couple other areas as well. It would be helpful to have portions of scriptures open. Proverbs chapter 1. On the pew Bible, it's page 527. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 through 33. This is the word of the Lord. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. Because I've called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Thus ends the reading of the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let us ask the Lord to bless the reading, preaching, and hearing of his word. Let us go to him. O Lord, you're the one who created the heavens and the earth. You have stretched the heavens and placed the stars in their places. You have hung the sun and the moon to rule the day and night. You are the one who created the mountains and the valleys and the seas and the land. You're the one who have dictated how far the rivers should flow, how high the mountains should be. You're the creator God, the wise one. The one who has made this beautiful creation. And yet, Lord, we have marred it by our sins, by our rebellion against the King of Glory. And Lord, we have entered into our own foolishness. And fools we have become, despising knowledge and wisdom, running to the wiles of the devil, believing the lies and exchanging the glory of God for the creations. And we turn to idols we create with our hands, and we bow before them as if they can deliver and save us. But Lord, we thank you that Christ is the wisdom of God, the one who had made the wisdom of the world foolish, the one who's risen from the dead and conquered it all. And he's been given the name above all name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is the Lord. So Lord, we come before mighty King, in whom alone is knowledge and wisdom and power and glory. So we ask that you be here amongst your people, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, that we may hear and receive by faith and love, that we may store them in our hearts, that we may practice them in our lives. So Lord, we ask that your word would come alive to us, that you would humble us, that you would rebuke us, that you would comfort us, that you would empower us, that you would make walk before you, that we may trust in you today, that we may grow in our love and adoration for you more today than yesterday. May Christ, his name, be exalted this evening. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a very interesting time because nobody cares about wisdom. Nobody asks a question about how to live well. Everybody wants to success, the wealth and health and strength, and nobody really asks the question of how can I live well? When's the last time you asked that question? How can I live well today? How can I manage the riches that God has given me today? How can I manage the body that God has given me and the time that God has granted to me? Here today and gone tomorrow, 80 years, if by strength we may live, how can I live well the time that God has given me? For we're the stewards, isn't it? Aren't we not merely given this time and space and strength and the heartbeats from the Almighty? But the world doesn't ask that kind of question. They don't ask, how can I live well? It's about how can I succeed? How can I have more money in my bank account? How can I get the most prettiest one, most handsome one? How can I have a success? Drive that Ferrari and have that, I don't know, whatever you want. I find it so ironic that people we look up to are these crazy people who've done nothing really. I remember one of my youth students that when I used to do youth ministry came up to me and she's like, hey, my role model is Beyonce. And I said, who? What? Who's that? She's like, how do you not know? So I looked her up and I said, this is what you want to be? Beyonce? That's your role model? You want to be like Elon Musk? Someone rich and famous? I find it so interesting that so often the news channels ask all these celebrities, oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about these social issues of today? They're asking rappers, what do you think? I don't care about what rappers think or what these rich people think. I really don't care. If anything, this generation, and when I say this generation, I mean all of y'all's generation, right? Our generation, the time and age and the spirit of the age that we live in an age of wisdom equals success. Scripture gives us different kinds of wisdom, spiritual wisdom that is not of this world, that world so often boasts over and dies and long to have. Proverbs here gives us different kind of wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, where 1 Corinthians says that God has made foolish, is the wisdom of God. And I think we should consider what God has to say about wisdom and how it is important for us to consider this evening. Verse 20 reads, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gates. She speaks. We're looking over some of the passages, some of the portions of scriptures that are considered wisdom literature. And we looked at Ecclesiastes, we looked at Psalms, we looked at various areas to understand what wisdom is and how important that is for us. And as we look at our text this evening, really Proverbs often is the very place where we come to recognize the wisdom of the Lord. And the very theme of the text, the very theme of the entire book, should I say, or should I say the entire book is a mere commentary to this very verse, chapter 1, verse 7. And chapter 1, verse 7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The rest of the Proverbs is really a commentary on that very basic statement. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And what you will see so much in portions of Proverbs is this division between the wise and the foolish. Those who are truly wise, who are wise in the Lord, and those who are foolish but they think they're wise. Isn't it true that devil is a great liar? And what he has promised to Eve was, if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did he say? You'll be like God and be wise, knowing good and evil. There is wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And here verse 20 says, wisdom cries out. That's the first point. Wisdom cries out. The wisdom is crying out to you. Did you realize this? The wisdom of God is presented to all ages and all people. That God is the one who have endowed this wisdom and is calling to, it's available, should I say. And it's a cry. Wisdom is not quiet in a corner. It's not something hidden that you need to go and find and look for. The word of God is clear. The wisdom is crying out. And where is he crying out? Aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice. Head of the noisy street, she cries out in the entrance of the city gate. She speaks. She's like prophet Isaiah, going from town to town, to village, to the marketplace, to the gates where people are gathered, and says, crying out and hear me, listen, says the wisdom. The wisdom is crying out to you. It's a wisdom that we all must hear. It's a wisdom that is crying out, number two, to you. Wisdom cries out to us, to you personally. It's not this wisdom that's out there, but it's a wisdom that's directed to every single one of us. You need to be wise. You, I need to be wise. So often we think, oh, wisdom is something so far, something so distant. Some people say, I want to be wise. But and yet, the wisdom cries out for you to be wise, for you to apply it to your hearts, for you to apply it and practice it in your lives. It's very important for us to recognize that the Lord's call to us is that you would grow in wisdom. And the wisdom in this sense is not just merely having a good knowledge. It's not full knowledge of the scripture. It's not that you memorize the entire Bible and you can regurgitate it and talk about it and you can dispense information to others. No, the wisdom that's spoken of here is the beginning of the wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. It is this personal recognition and understanding that God is and who you are. Is this recognition as God has revealed himself in the scriptures, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of the universe, and indeed he's the redeemer of his people, the covenantal God, and he calls his people to himself, and that is to whom they were to give account to. Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It is indeed for you to recognize that there is God. And he's not some God that's nebulous out there, but he's God who speaks to you. He's speaking even now. He's speaking through his creation. He's revealing, Romans chapter 1 says, the word that God reveals himself through the creation, his wisdom, power, and glory, his divine attributes, that God is speaking to us today. And in sundry times and diverse ways, the Lord has spoken through his prophets. In the last day, he's spoken to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his agents, the apostles. He has given to us the truth, the word of the living God, that you may know. Not just merely have knowledge, but that you may know and have wisdom. And this is to every single one of us. You know how personal that truly is. That's why wisdom, he's the personified wisdom, is in the market space. He's speaking to everyone and anyone who may give him ear, give her ear to hear. Now, so we now know it is wisdom who cries out, and it's wisdom who's crying out to you. And what is the wisdom crying out? Third point is to turn. Verse 22, this is what wisdom cries out. It says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? It's so funny because when I was young, you know, I wanted to get that driver's license. You know what I'm talking about? I was like, man, as soon as I turn, I'm going to get license. I'm going to get work. I'm going to start getting job, and I'm going to make pay for myself. I'm going to get whatever I want to get. The first thing I got was snowboard. I set up, and I said, this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to get this board. I'm going to get this binding, and I'm going to go and ride it. Yes! I worked hard for it. I got it. The generations before me have done more, right? You get early, you get job, you work, you try to get independent, become independent, make a living, make a life. You want to be a grown-up. We live in a time where nobody wants to grow up anymore. They like basements of their parents' basement. People don't want to grow up. People don't want to become mature. People don't want to become wise. But verse 22 says, oh, you simple ones. You like being simple? You like being, another way of saying simple is being foolish. Oh, you fools. Do you just love being a fool? How long will you stay as a fool? How long will the scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Here, wisdom is crying out. He's crying out to you to turn. Verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit to you. I'll make my words known to you. You see, the wisdom is calling out. Why are you being a fool? What is there to foolishness? You see, the goal of Proverbs, what wisdom is trying to accomplish in our lives, is to make you no longer being foolish. Are you tired of being foolish? I am. How many mistakes have I made? And I look back with regrets, things that I failed, things I didn't do, things I should have done. How foolish I am. You see my present tense there. I am still a fool. I wish I could say I was a fool. The reality is I am still a simpleton, and I need wisdom. And I need this reproof. And the reproof from the Lord is to turn to wisdom. But what do people do? Verse 24, because I have called you and you refuse to listen and stretch out my hand and no one has heeded. Oh, how often we ignore God's wisdom. How often we just don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear reproof. One of the things about ministry is so often you do have to say some hard things. Sometimes you have to go and say, hey, brother, that's sinful. Sometimes you have to go to a sister and say, look, sister, you're being a fool. Sometimes you have to call out and say, stop. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you this. About 99 times out of 100, people don't want to hear it. People walk out angry or bitter or don't want to hear it. Ask your kids. You tell your kids. How do they react? Do they go, oh, thank you. Dad, I just needed that word. I needed that rebuke today because I'm a fool. I needed that word of wisdom. Oh, you're so smart. Thank you, Father. Is that the response you normally get? I don't know what world you live in and what kind of saints you have as children, but that's not normally how I react when my mom tells me what I should do and fix in my life. Oh, how foolish we are. You see, the fool is not described by how much knowledge they have. A fool is described how they react to reproof, how they react to words of wisdom, how they hate knowledge. It's something deep within the hearts, and they do not respond to the call to turn. Rather, they mock and they ignore. And wisdom responds, it says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, and when distress and anguish come upon you. You see, we reap what we sow. And when we sow foolishness, we reap foolishness. Isn't that true? and how often I reap foolishness.
And I sow foolishness.
There are times I may pass by, you say, oh goodness, I did something, you know, stupid. And it didn't happen, and you think, oh, you got away. Nope, it's coming right back at you. You thought you got away, and it comes with the whirlwind. You dodge that jab, and you get an uppercut. That's how it happens, isn't it? And he comes, and he says, the wisdom just laughs at your calamity. He just mocks at it. It's like, I told you so. It's not mocking and laughter out of joy, but it's mocking and laughter out of pity. I'm saying, what are you doing? Have I not told you so? To turn, have I not spoken words that are strong and harsh at times so that you may turn? Why are you so foolish? And verse 28, it says, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They seek me with diligently, but will not find. How often does this happen? After all of ignoring all the wisdom and words of wisdom and doing all the things all the wrong ways, and you have regrets and you say, I need some wisdom now, and it's too late. Time has passed. The opportunity's been lost, and nothing but regret and eating what you've sown. And it's pretty bitter. And I don't say this lightly, but that's life, isn't it? And that's the experience of every single one in this room, young and old, rich and poor. Isn't that true? Because we're all fools. Oh, you fools. Because I am a fool. Hey, when can I say you're a fool to good Christians here? But that's what we are, aren't we? We don't listen. We're stubborn. And we eat what we sow. Verse 29, because we hated knowledge, because we did not choose the fear of the Lord, because we would have none of his counsel and despise all of his reproof. Verse 31, therefore we shall eat the fruit of our way, and have their fill of their own devices. You see, when calamities come, when the whirlwinds come, it's because we deserve it. And that's the hard part, isn't it? When you're in it, you thought, it's not going to happen. You thought you're not going to reap what you've sown. And when the result comes, it's too late. And the misery enters, and the heaviness and the darkness, bitterness and anger and despair comes to our lives. I didn't live as long as many of you have lived, but certainly this I have experienced. Isn't that true? So he says, verse 32, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Yeah, we are our own murderers. We're the ones who's killing our own selves. We're the one who's guilty. We're the foolish ones. We have put an end to our own existence. But verse 33 gives us a glimmer of hope. This is what he says, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. You see, the Lord calls us to turn now. That's my fourth point. Wisdom cries out to you to turn now. You see, the verse 33 says, whoever listens to me. It says not whoever listened to me. But it's whoever listens to me now. It's the one who have walked in the way of foolishness, one who have sown in foolishness. He says, but if you turn now, if you turn when today is today, if you turn to wisdom, if you turn to God, to his word, if you turn to him, he'll provide security. It is if you turn to him today that he is the one who will rescue you and deliver you. He is the one who will listen and who will provide. You see, the beauty of this text is to recognize how foolish we've been and recognize how foolish we are and to respond to verse 33 and says, I'm going to turn to you now. It's never too late to turn to wisdom. It's never too late to turn to him. It's never too late to begin to cultivate in your hearts the fear of the Lord. It's never too late to walk out of your foolishness and to turn to his wisdom. It's never too late to respond to this call. You know why? It's not too late because the true calamity and true whirlwind has not come. The true disaster that Proverbs here is speaking of has not yet come. Let me put it in this perspective. In this life, we make mistakes. And sometimes we make big mistakes. Sometimes we make a bunch of small ones. Or sometimes we make a bunch of big ones. I don't know. But we are the product of all those foolishness and maybe some wise choices we made in lives. And where you are today is a product of all that has come before you. But when the scripture here speaks of that day of calamity, in the day of that whirlwind, in the day of that disaster, he's not merely giving to you the days that you have suffered, days of struggles that came to your way where you reap what you've sown, but it's referring to another day. The day, the true day, the great big day, the day that is to come. The scripture speaks of the great disaster where there is no way of turning back. There's no way, because the wisdom will not hear, that there is a day where you will give an account. There is a day that the fear will become true, that the judge of the living and the dead will come before you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will judge and give an account. And you and I, we must give account to all that we have done in our foolishness and all that we have done in our sowing. That day is coming to reap. Jesus spoke about it this way in Matthew chapter 7. That there is a man who built his house on the sand, and there is a man who built his house on a rock, and the wind blew, and the whirlwind came, and he beat on that house, and there's only one who survived, the one whose house is built on the rock, and the one whose house was built on the sand, not built on wisdom, but built on the foolishness of this world. He says, it has fallen, and great was its fall. He's referring to that day of judgment. And that day of judgment is coming. And until that day comes, my friends, you always have a day to turn. And now is the day. Today is the day to turn to the wisdom of the Lord. Today is the day to turn to him, because my final point, that we are to turn to Christ, because he is the one. He alone is the one who is the wisdom from heaven, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's the power of God and the wisdom of God that Christ crucified. He made foolish the wisdom of the world. And the one who came down in perfect wisdom, and the one who has spoken into streets and the cities and the towns and spoke of people to turn and preaching the good news of the gospel, that you may turn, that you may live, that you may call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall live. For the day of redemption is here, that great and awesome day of salvation is here. How long, O simple ones, how long, O foolish ones, to turn to the Savior, the one whose wisdom from God has spoken. And if you turn to him, you will have life. And yet this wisdom from heaven, though he lived perfectly in wisdom, putting away all falsehood and putting away all the foolishness, when even devil came to tempt, he stood firm in the word of the Lord and spoke the wisdom of God and stood firm. And yet he did not receive the reward of his wisdom, but he received the curse that we deserve. That he died on the cross, bearing your sins, bearing your foolishness. He was reaping what he did not sow, but he reaped what you sow as he died on the cross. And he bore the great disaster from heaven. The very wrath of God was fallen upon him. That in the days of Noah, the foolishness of this world was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And yet those who put their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the disaster will pass away because he has taken your disaster. This is the gospel. This is the wisdom from heaven to turn to the Lord when he calls to you today, to turn to Christ now. And here's the beauty of it. The world cries out success, success, success. People want to build a mansion, but all they're doing is building a mansion on the sand. You know what the Lord Jesus calls you to do? Build a hut. It's okay, but put it on the rock. We live at a time where everybody wants fancy things and fancy life. But the wisdom says, you know what? I'm happy with a hut on the rock, Jesus Christ. And church, and my brothers and sisters, my friends, you may have messed up, you feel like. You may just have a little tiny hut. Maybe you have a little roof. Maybe you don't even have a side yet. And you feel miserable because you failed so much, and so much regret and so much pain and anguish. But it's okay. The Lord is risen. The Lord doesn't call you to build a big mansion on the rock. Just a little house. Just a little room. And the day of judgment, when the day of the Lord comes, oh, you'll have a mansion in heaven. That's the wisdom from heaven. Forget this world. What is it? What is it? It's here today, gone tomorrow. Let us put our hope in the Lord. And the call to you this evening to turn to him now. Turn to him today. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Almighty God who is worthy of all praise and glory. Lord, you did not save us because we are good. Lord, you did not save us because we were successful. You did not save us because we were noble. But you saved us even when we were foolish. Oh, you lay down your life for fools. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I believe in you, who's ever so wise, ever so powerful, ever so good, that we thank you that you love fools, and you have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that you turn our hearts to you this evening, that we may rest in you and you alone. And Lord, as we bring your tithes and our offerings as a worship and token to turn away from our ways to you, we ask that you use it for your glory, that even more fools would turn and find wisdom in Christ and him alone. That wisdom from heaven, that his name will be magnified and glorified this evening. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.